over the last few weeks, you know, God's real impressed in my heart to remember the reason for the season. And so give me a message. I'm going to share. I'm going to go pretty fast here through some stuff. But, hey, I want y'all to celebrate the birth of Jesus with me. Can everybody give God a big praise
That's
this
right.
morning?
Right now?
Come on, don't give me no panic, cake. How about a shout to the Lord? Come on. Yeah, there we go. We got our country boots on today, and we sung a little Tell It on the
That's
Mountain,
right.
and God is good. So, this morning, somebody told me I looked pretty good this morning. Yeah. Feeling good about
Amen.
That. The reason I wore this, it's not a full suit, but, you know, I wore this suit. It was the other day, Lord impressed on me about this, and I... How we label people, don't we, sometimes? And we look at people, and even in this season, we're labelers. We label things. But what does it impress on you that somebody with a suit right away?
Must be going to church.
On Sunday.
Must be going to church.
All right, yeah. Or they might be what?
Wealthy.
Wealthy, okay.
Or a preacher.
Or a preacher, yeah. Yeah, somebody told me the other day I had a suit. Yeah, it's you don't see me with that often, but we label people, don't we, by what we see. And the Lord spoke to me this week. He said, "Don't get caught up in what you think you're supposed to look like at the ministry house. We've got to understand that God has a plan. He had one from the beginning, and He'll have one tomorrow." You know, and it's not about a visual thing that we see. Yes, the parking lot's beautiful. And, you know, thumbs up to Sunbelt for giving us that Bobcat to spread that gravel and everything's going in line. But we have to stay focused on that God has to be first. He has to be the one who is always the visual. He's the vision maker inside of all of us. He's the one, he says, my people, what? Perish for lack of vision. So vision is important, but it's also can be a very distracting thing for a Christian, visually looking at, hey, I'm a preacher. Now, if I come in and usually I got my old jeans on or I'm in sweats or whatever it is, do I look like a preacher then? No, let's be honest, right? Y'all don't sit there now. Come on, go with me. I don't look like a preacher, do I?
No.
Do I talk like a preacher?
No.
I talk like a country boy. But when I'm in the Spirit of God and when I'm in the will of God, guess what? God is in control. I am being led by the Spirit. So this week when God told me that, I said, okay. And He said, wear a suit. Because here's the thing. We get our eyes on everything at Christmas time that is not the truth of what Christmas really is.
Amen.
And so God told me this message is called the true Christmas story, or the Christmas story, whatever you want. And I'm going to be in Matthew 1:21. If you got your Bibles, turn over there. And I want to read from that here in a minute, but... several years ago, I read a sermon, Dr. James Mary, and I was reading that sermon, and he was talking about, it was at Christmas time, and how that over in Bethlehem, there was a revolt. They called it the revolt back in the late, this was in the 80s or something like that. Well, there was a battle, and there's always a battle. Let me know that over there going on. But in the town of Bethlehem, listen to this. This was wrote in the New York Times, and this is, I believe, a reflection of what we see in the United States right now. We see a lot of these going on. In the town of Bethlehem, and it was in, this is wrote in November 28th, the town where Jesus was born has canceled its traditional Christmas celebration in solidarity with the year-long revolt against Israeli occupation. And This is what the deputy mayor, Hanna Nazur, said. We don't see any reason to celebrate Christmas. This is in town Bethlehem now. We have to show concern for our dead and for our detainees. Bless you. So now, does that sound familiar to you today in our society in the U.S. that we have changed Christmas, Merry Christmas even,
right,
to what?
Happy holidays.
Visual, mental, everything that wants to tear down the truth of why we celebrate Christmas. Now, there's one thing that stands out in this quote to me. This mayor, on one hand, he doesn't understand the real reason for season. The season is
for what?
Christ, is it not? The real reason for the season. And now, how would you feel if somebody said to you, there's absolutely no reason to celebrate your birthday? How would you feel about that?
At my age, I'd be okay with
it. Some of us, you know, hey, no big deal, but, you know, really, oh, down deep, there's something, you know, there's no need to celebrate your birthday, right? How would you really feel? And if people treated you on your birthday the way the world's treating Jesus right now, on his birthday, I believe it's safe to say that you would be deeply offended, really. You'd be hurt, wouldn't you? When your family, you say, I don't get me no present, you know, I don't need nothing. Down deep, you're really saying, boy, I really would like one. Right? You like to feel good. You like to know that your birthday's special. Am I not true? Can I get an amen? Is somebody still alive in here? How many of people do you know that have parties thrown in honor of their birthday for their children?
Amen.
And yet they never get invited. This is what we're talking about here. Yet they never get invited. That's the way we're looking with Jesus here. In these holidays, when we're making a happy season, happy whatever, and we're taking Christ out of the whole scenario of what Christmas really is, we're not inviting him. And so you think about that on one hand, and there's a story. I heard a little boy here, and he wrote this letter to his grandma. He said, "Dear Grandmother, I'm very sorry that I forgot your birthday last week. It would serve me right if you forgot mine next Tuesday. Love, Johnny." That's pretty good, ain't it? He's learning to manipulate already, ain't he? But yet, it served me right if you forgot mine. It's next Tuesday. So, ironically, the next time of the year, this time of the year, Christmas is a time of both two things, celebration and separation. And because at no other time of the year is a Christian more separated from the world, supposed to be, than at Christmas time. The world celebrates a season, but a Christian celebrates a Savior. That's where we need to be. That's why we're here today. We're to celebrate a Savior, not a season. You know, he is the reason for the season. And so whether this world likes it or not, and increasingly the world doesn't like it, do they?
Amen.
They don't want us to talk about Jesus nowhere. They have a prayer in school, do they? They don't want to have Christ involved in anything. We're offending someone if we say Christ, if we say Jesus. Or even if we say God at this point, and if we're Christians, we're offending somebody. So the world wants to separate us from the truth and wants to keep us in this visual thing of what really Christmas they think is. Now, there's some people, they're going to go out and probably drink up the town and get drunk and we'll never know what a birthday Christ is this season. There's a party going to happen, and there's some people who are so devious they want to forget whose birthday it is. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's some of us, the only time of the year you think about, they think about Jesus, and I'm not saying that, y'all, but they think about Christ, because you're going to hear Christ, Christmas, that's where it comes from, that's supposedly, right? So it's one time of the year that they're going to be, they want to forget about it, you know. They just want to get in their own world. They want to get in their own world. And there's some people who are depressed also. There's at the time of the year, and they don't care whose birthday it really is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have battled depression. You may have had a hard time at Christmas. For me, my sister, I lost my sister in a car accident the 1st of December. It took me years, and I still hurt every time that date comes around. And so what do we really do? If we were hurting for someone we love like that, shouldn't we be hurting for Christ sometimes when we see this time of season? Yes, we celebrate the birth, but we know what it really means, do we not? Now, for most of the part, the world will begin throwing a big party, but they'll forget to invite the guest of honor. We forget to invite the guest of honor, just like the story earlier. We've took Christ, and we'll have all the big parties for the where we work and all these things, but how many really lift up the name of Jesus? How many really do? And most of the world reminds me of the story. There was a story about two women, and they were enjoying an expensive lunch together and in a downtown restaurant, real nice restaurant. And it's obviously they was hooping it up, celebrating, enjoying their meal and everything, and some kind of festive occasion. And the waiter or waitress walked up and said, well, what are y'all celebrating? It's obvious you're celebrating something. And the woman replied, and the waitress, she said, we're celebrating the birth of my, had a baby. And the waitress said, well, okay, that's great. Well, where's the baby? And she looked at her and said, well, I wouldn't dare bring the baby. That'd mess up everything. Mess up everything. Why would we bring the baby? It'd ruin the whole party. You see, most people's going to be that same mindset. It's that same mindset throughout the world we see, and we're having these parties or whatever we're having, and we're leaving the guest of honor out. Look around us. So how would you look if somebody throwed you that birthday party, and at that party everybody got a gift but you? Mm-hmm. Everybody got a gift but you. Well, how would that affect you? And how would you feel if somebody threw that party and but even you were not mentioned? Not even mentioned. In fact, you weren't even invited. And we've managed to make Christmas a $15 billion industry. We've made it more about money, more about everything that is not about what it's supposed to be about. And there's a half a ton, half of the toys sold in America, I read this survey, it said, are sold at Christmas time. Did y'all know that? Over half of the year's long are sold at Christmas time, and over $4.5 billion worth of toys. Now, I'm not trying to be no Scrooge. I'm not trying to tell you shouldn't buy a gift and bless somebody with a gift or what. But what I am trying to say this morning is God's trying to get it inside of us that the reason for the season isn't a gift.
Amen.
Amen. The reason for the season isn't a party. Come on, is somebody going to sleep with me? The reason for the season is one and one only thing, and that is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have to know that. We have to teach our children that. We have to understand that the world is going to hell in a handbasket because of our morals, our reason, and even Christianity. This day, we will succumb to everything but the truth. the one thing that sets us free in society, and that is Jesus Christ. And we put him down the lower on the totem pole. Everything else is up here.
Sir, amen.
And Jesus is down here. He's not even invited half the time.
Amen.
Boy, it's getting quiet in here now. It's amazing to see how conveniently we forget that Christmas indeed is his birthday. And there was a study done, Muzak is a music channel. And, you know, we sung some Christmas songs, but we heard Jesus in them this morning, didn't we? But listen to this, the five ranked, or they did a most popular Christian songs by numbers and versions available on the Holiday Channel, this music, and they were the first ones. Anybody guess what that might be? It was the Christmas song, they call it, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. That was number one, okay? That one, I didn't really put it there, did you?
No.
The second one was White Christmas. The third one was Winter Wonderland. The fourth one was Silver Bells. And the fifth one was I'll Be Home for Christmas. It actually tied with Jingle Bells. Now, do you see anything in all five of these that might stand out to you?
Jesus
was left out. In the top five of all the survey, Jesus was left out. He was not even mentioned in any of these songs. Christ is left out. I'm afraid that Jesus not only gets shortchanged in Christmas songs, but I believe the same thing is happening in the Christmas stories. I believe the same thing is happening in the church, in the sermons. I believe we're succumbing to a feel-good gospel, and we're not really preaching the truth that can give somebody something of hope, the true hope. Sometimes it don't feel good. You know, but as a preacher, as a pastor, as an evangelist, whatever it is, it's our calling to get the truth out to you. And the truth is, this season is all about Jesus. He should be involved in everything we do this holiday that they call holiday, this time of year. And even in the Christian homes, listen, I ain't picking on nobody, and I'm not going to go down that road, you know where I could go. But the fact is, what are we making our idols? Is it a tree? Is it lights? Is it presents? I don't know. God ain't happy. God ain't happy with this. And it's like, you see, the true Christmas story, and I'm getting to my scripture, is right here. It's the Christmas story commences with a cradle, but it continues to a cross. And it goes from a cross, and it concludes with a crown. That's the true Christmas story. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all about that one thing, and that one thing is what it says here in Matthew 1. I'm going to read that in a second. But just as we do not believe you should leave Jesus on the cross as a Christian because he is risen Lord, I also believe you should not leave Jesus in the cradle as a baby because he is no longer a baby lying in a manger. He is now a king on a throne. He is the Lord of lords. And we need to celebrate that today. Hallelujah. Can somebody give him some praise in here?
Amen.
I mean, shout. I mean, clap. Give him something because today God wants you to understand that he ain't in that cradle no more. We celebrate that. He's on a throne. And the Bible says, I also believe that a true Christmas story and a Christmas sermon is found in this one single verse right here in Matthew 1 and 21. It says, and we've heard this over and over again. We've seen it in Christmas plays and things our kids might have done. But it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will what? Save his people from their sin.
Amen.
That's the Christmas story right there in one sentence, in a nutshell. You see, everything about Christmas should always revert back to this scripture right here. In fact, his name is Jesus. That one thing, his name is Jesus. Does anybody know where the name Jesus come from, or its meaning in the Greek or the old, what that word means? It actually is like Joshua. We say Joshua, it's Yeshua. Yeshua. And anybody know what that means? The meaning of that word? We talked about this morning in our discipleship, the meaning of words and names. They actually meant something in the Old Testament and through the lineage. Names mean something. Today, you know, well, Joe, we said his name's short for Joseph, right? Which means something. And some of us might have names like Ronnie who don't mean, I don't know where that come from. But the names really mean something. But this name, his name Jesus, actually means, and if you say Yeshua, we say Joshua, they say Yeshua in the Greek, and it means God is salvation. So right from the beginning, Yeshua, if you look at that, salvation, to put it simple, Jesus means Savior. That word means, Jesus means Savior. So we're so used to thinking of the Lord being called Jesus Christ, we sometimes forget the meaning, I believe, of what it really means. Savior. Jesus means Savior. There's also other meanings throughout the Bible, and I wrote some of these down, and I want to go through them real quick from the Old Testament, because there's so much meaning behind everything that's from the Old Testament all the way to Jesus being born in his name, the prophetic all the way in Isaiah. So I want to go over some of those. In the Old Testament, his name was Emmanuel. Have you heard that? Emmanuel? In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah called him Emmanuel. He said, this was also proving that before of a virgin named Mary, that he had a purpose. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, Matthew also quoted this verse written by the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what that word means. Now, you get the naysayers that talk about, well, the Old Testament is, that's old. You don't have to, you know, live the new, live grace, faith. And that's okay. But we can't forget the old, because it all goes together. And that whole thing right there will blow any of these scientific scholars out of the water. Even the Jewish people couldn't see it. But if you read it plainly, Isaiah prophesied Jesus all the way back into the Old Testament, prophesied it. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, you go on down in the book of Isaiah 9:6, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Everything will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. How many know that he can be the Prince of Peace when you're in turmoil of your life and you need peace? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful Counselor in that time when you're in trouble and you need a counselor, somebody to guide you. His name is Jesus, and he can be that world, the counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is Eternal Father. He is the one, Emmanuel, God with us. It goes on down in the book, in Psalms 2. He's called the Anointed One. In the Gospel, if we go up into the New Testament, listen to this. He's spoken of in Mark 1 as the Son of God. In Matthew 8:20, he's spoken as the Son of Man. in Matthew 15:22, he's spoken of as the Son of David. In John 1:1, he's referred to as the Word. In John 1:29, as the Lamb of God. In Matthew 16:16, as the Christ. In John 1:38, he's referred to as Rabbi. And in Acts 3:19, as the author of all life.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, so let's go there. In 1:8, it says, he is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, indicating he is the first and the last. Glory be to God. In Revelations 5:5, he's referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In Revelations 19:16, it says he is the Word of God. In Revelations 19:16, it also goes on and says he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Over every Lord there ever was, he is the Lord of lords. And two other places, 22:16, the bright and the morning star. He is the light in the darkness, and he always will be. Now, when you walk in a room, you should take that same light with you, Joe. You should take the morning star with you, and you should shine through the darkness. That's what God expects us to do. And then last, it says in Revelations 5:6-13, he's referred to as the Lamb. Now, this is the Lamb in Revelations that people get twisted up about. I'm not going to get it deep into that because there's a lot it's talking about. He is the Lamb that walks up to the throne and takes the scroll. And that scroll is the one that all God's children's names are written on. If you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a book, and if you're a born-again believer, your name is in that book. And that scroll, he'll also have another one, and that'll be the one of our deeds and what we've done, good and bad. Every word proceeds out of our mouth. So he is the only one, the Lamb that knew no sin, that will be the one that reads out that for everyone. Everyone, this is a great white throne judgment time when everyone will give an account. Every word, every idol. And you stand before God and he'll say, why should I let you, if he said this, I'm paraphrasing, into my heaven? There's only one answer. And that answer is because of your son, born in a manger, went to a cross, but sits at the right hand of the Father now. His name is Jesus, and that's the only way. Give him praise in this house today. He is the only way. So yesterday we're here in service, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we want to shout out to in 2015, and God, but God seemed fit to come down to this lowly place in this place called Bethlehem in a manger. Not only he didn't go to the inn, he didn't go to the what's a real expensive place, the Hyatt Regency, right? There wasn't no place for him there. He went to a manger in a donkey stable amongst all the muck and mire with all the animals there, because so you see, he come in to this world in that lowly place, but he did go out. He is the King.
That's right.
But we got to understand that God knew what he was doing when he allowed himself through his son. And as we sisters shared this morning, it just touched my heart about how God, how much he this time of season, he knew, yes, a son's going to be born, but what that son would have to go through. What he would have to endure. He only lived 32 years, they say. And through that time, his whole life, he was a carpenter's son, a stepson of a carpenter, but he was also a king walking in. He was born a prince, but he was going to be a king. But how much he went through and endured through that time. And remembering that, we think we got some stuff, don't we, going on in our life, and we got some problems. But God, and he gave me this revelation, God knew he had to hurt. He had to hurt. God, we say, God's spirit, but I believe his spirit was hurt. I think that's where it talks about a baby, when a baby's born, it says to cry, and then when someone dies, rejoice. This is what it's talking about. God knew. He cried when Jesus was born. I'm sure of this. I'm sure that's what that scripture means. He knew what his son had to endure from a cradle to a cross and the pain that he was going to suffer. Nobody wants to see a kid suffer like that. But yet he still loved us enough and he sent his son. Although Jesus was born of this earth, a child from the beginning of the universe, he was there. And from the beginning of creation, Jesus was there. And from the beginning of the old covenant fulfilled through all the years through the prophets, and the new covenant with mankind, he was there. And we read the Bible says, he is the beginning of everything. Listen to this. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You ever get wonder why in the beginning it says, if you read Genesis, we made man into our image? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was the second part of the deity of God. Whew, glory be to God. God himself incarnate in a manger, and he put himself out there for you and I. In Colossians 1:16, it says, for by him all things were created, both in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:17 continues and goes on. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Glory be to God. He is the super glue.
Right.
He's the super glue of life.
For me and you, it's the duct tape.
Amen. It's the duct tape to us country boys, right? We know duct tape cure all, right? He should not just be remembered once a year as a child born in a manger.
Amen.
He should all be our present Savior in everyday life and the strong tower to lean on, as the Bible says he can be. And he should be the one that we constantly turn to in all our needs, and also being the example of who we are as Christians. And he should be the one thing that holds all things together in life today. Like it says in the scripture here, no matter what is going on in our lives, he is the reason for the season, period. Glory be to God. Give God some praise in here. He is the reason for the season. 1 John 1 says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard. Now this is John. What we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with him. How many want fellowship with God? Amen. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. So that our joy may be complete. Oh, it's a joyous time of the year. For some it's not. For some it's a depressing time of the year. For some it's a lonely time of the year. For some it's you know, hey, we're on the mountaintop. Some of us in the valley. He is the one that will lead us when we're in the valley. He is the one that will help us. He is the one that will complete us. You see, Jesus completes all of life's problems, life's hardship, pain, suffering, loneliness, break. You can't get through this life without him. You can, but you're a lonely person.
That's right.
You're hurting and you're broken. There's something in your life missing always, because we're, as I shared this morning in our discipleship, we're a spiritual being in an earthen vessel. This old flesh. God created us in His image, and He is what? Spirit. There's something missing. So through Him is the only way our lives will ever be complete. And it's our choice. Oh, He gives us a choice. And without Jesus, our lives will always be incomplete. There will be something always missing. You can fulfill it with presence. You can have a wonderful family. You can have everything that you ever dreamed of, but there's still something missing. There's something missing for those who are out there who are not, are celebrating the wrong reason for this season. There is incompleteness and there is something missing. And so I believe that you shouldn't leave Jesus in a cradle, because He no longer lives as that baby. And we shouldn't leave Him on the cross, because He's no longer on a cross. And we want to crucify Him all over again, over and over again, when we're living in our sin and we're putting everything before Him. But He's trying to tell us this season, it's about me, God said. It's about my Son. It's not about all the gifts. It's not about all the things of the world. He is this reason for the season. And again, Matthew 1:21 says, Jesus, they called His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin. He's the one that bridges the gap to you, for you and I to get to the Father. You ever seen those little flyers or in the Eternal Life track that I teach in evangelism? It's like a great gulf, and there's, you know, God's over here and you're over here, and you're not, you don't know Jesus. You don't have, you're incomplete. Then there's this like void, there's this place in your life, and they throw a cross down. It's like a bridge, and that's Christ. He's the bridge to get the Father. There is no other way except through Christ, it says in the Word of God. Now, one thing we have to remember Christmas is about, it's not about I'm not talking about the presents, although I'm not saying that's wrong. Any of these things, the gifts, they're great, and God blesses us with them. But there's a lot of people out there who get caught up in the whole thing, the wrong Christmas story, I'll say. And we make this thing so big, it puts so many people in bondage, because we separate the truth to our miracle Christmas, whatever, in our minds or whatever we've created here. And we put pressure on ourselves. Our bank statements go out the roof because we're buying things we know we can't buy. We don't have the funds for. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We'll go out and we'll borrow money to do something for some. And again, I'm not trying to be Scrooge, but for kids, some toys and stuff, and the next thing you know, they're broke out in the yard and they throw them aside, and there you are still making the payment. So tell me,
that's right.
Where's the real true joy going to come from? It's going to come from within, from those who, and you raising your kids in the truth that will show them what Christmas is about. It's about giving, but it's only one thing. That one thing, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
That's right. Amen.
That all of us who believe shouldn't perish. One day He bridges the gap. He gets us to the Father, and that we can have everlasting life. That's the only joy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. We don't fear death. We don't fear tomorrow, what the tomorrow will hold. We don't allow things like that in our life, because greater He that is in me that is in this world. And we know that everything, we are complete in Him, like the Word said and what I spoke. And the only way that we're going to get back to a healed land, our families healed and everything else, is to get our stinking thinking straightened out here. We've got to understand those things are okay. If you can afford to do that, that's great. But I'm going to tell you one quick story. I'm going to close. That when I was in another church and I helped with finances some, I never see finances here. I don't know what y'all give. So, you know, you can't go rub up beside me and, hey, pastor, you know. I told Penny from the beginning, I don't want to know. That's why we do the thing on the wall. You give from your heart. If you believe this is where you're called, then you give. You believe your tithes and your offering, then that's what you do. Yeah, or you have a gift offering, whatever. But one of the sad things I saw in this whole deal, because you have to, somebody has to deal with that. It's something part of it. Money has to go somewhere, pay the bills and do those things. Was that at Christmas time, even though the numbers increased, people would come when they had never been to church in a long time. A lot of people do. Our people are solid. Y'all come every week, but we ain't like that. But you know what I'm saying? The people, well, they'll strap on their suits and then buy the new dresses and, you know, the hats, some of them, you know. They'll go to church, man. It's that time of year. But the truth is, they're sitting there so empty. They're sitting there so empty. They're thinking about what the meal I need to cook, or, you know, I got to get little Johnny something for this. I got to do this. I got to do that. And their whole mind is skewed on the truth of why they're there, to really celebrate the birth of Christ and glorify Him and all that He was and is and yet to be in their life. And but you would see the money fall off from December to January and all the way on into March. It wouldn't pick up the way after tax season and stuff. I didn't know this till the senior pastor said anything. But then, and then the numbers after Christmas, New Year's comes around, you know, I don't know, maybe more partying and then whatever. And then where'd everybody go? And there was always a back door, like my senior pastor called it. Where'd I all go? Where the money's gone? But the truth is, people get so overextended, that they didn't have their tithes or offering. They were trading it in, giving it to the man, paying the high interest rates. Got to get little Johnny and Sister Sally some presents and stuff. You know, so what happens? We're starting off the new year. Are we blessed? Are we in bondage? Are we happy? Are we putting ourselves in a place that is not going to help our children? What are we teaching them? You know? We started years ago, we choose to give, do some Christmas for somebody else and teach our kids that. You know, we got them something, one gift or two. But, you know, I can say this because my parents were the world's worst. You know, I saw my dad just struggle. He'd take on two jobs. I didn't know why. I was a kid, you know. We didn't go to church all the time and stuff. My grandmother did and all, but what in the world? Were we, you know, eating beans and taters and cornbread a lot and stuff, you know? And then come to find out, we was overextended. Later on, when I grew up, realizing they bought me this or they bought me that, and they couldn't even afford it. But they wanted me to have that. We want our kids to have stuff, don't we? I mean, that's what it's all about. But what are we really teaching them? So, with all that said, He is the reason for the season. And I want us this week to stay focused on that. As we go out into the world and we see ourselves, and some of you probably think, dang boy, you just stomped my toe. I don't know. Maybe you went out and bought more stuff. And all of us want to give. But the whole fact is, what are we giving? You know, what are we giving?
Keep your receipts.
Keep your receipts?
That's right.
Yeah. You can always take it back. As long as they don't crush it, the kids, or somebody that, But most of the time, half the stuff is, it's all material stuff, is it not? I'm talking eternal purpose today. This celebration week with Christ is between you and Him. If you know Him, you know, He needs to be priority. We teach this all the time. If He's not first, you know, everything else is out of line. Everything. The hardest thing for people is putting Him above their family. Because, hey, we love our families, man, and there is nothing wrong with that. But our families will struggle because of our mistakes, right?
That's right.
We're not blaming it on the parents, and there's parents in here. But the fact is, our kids suffer because of our bad mistakes and not taking our kids to church or not teaching them the truth about Christmas or not doing things and saying, no, you can't have that little Johnny. We don't have the money. Right? Joe, I tried to tell you no. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is there somebody
amen,
still amen, awake? Listen, it's not about what we wear. It's not about how much stuff we can buy or what we have, the nice homes, the cars, any of that. We put on a facade, don't we? When we take ourselves into that place where He is not first and prioritizing our life. And God wants us to, this holiday season, to remember that the cradle, the cross, and He is a King.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for everyone in this room and how much they mean to You, above all, the body of Christ. Their plan and purpose for their life, everything that You're going to do in every one of these men and women's life, God, the things is probably just astonishing, God. If we could really grab hold of what Your Word tells us, I believe we couldn't even comprehend it. Even Jesus told His disciples, You said, greater things shall we see. I don't believe we're seeing the greater things because of our priorities and our minds are skewed on things in this season that are not, they're materialistic. But Lord, above all, may we sing praise to You and thank You, Father, for Your love for each one in this room, that You died for everyone in this room, Lord Jesus, for all our sins, and that You are our Savior. You're Emmanuel, God with us in every need, every name that we spoke of. You're there as our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Counselor, everything that You are. Now, Father, I know that You loved Your Son that much for everyone in this room. If there's anyone in this room that might be away from You or want to put You first, now, right now, I pray that You move on their heart, that it's only a call away, and all they have to do is call on You. You save us when we believe in our heart and trust and have faith and surrender our life to You. Not just as a Savior. Lord, I pray that we can make You Lord. Everybody wants a Savior, but hardly anybody wants a Lord. Now help us understand what it means to be Lord of our life. That, Lord, that we don't get caught up in all the things that take us down the wrong road. Father, help everyone in this room. Let everyone in this room be a light to shine in these seasons as their family, the Christmas time and the New Year's time, and a reflection of who You are in all we do. And God, now bless the giver today, everyone that gives and sows their seed of faith and sows that seed into the ministry to reach others. And Lord, You know where we're at, coming into a new year to do the building and do the things we need to do and get some pastors in here to pastor our children and take this whole building right here. And to You be all the glory and all that You want to do. May we be patient and wait on You, but also move out in faith. And for every seed that's sowed, put it to good use for Your kingdom purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Give God some praise in here. If you love Him this morning, show somebody.